This is the All Elite Marks Headlines Podcast with your hosts, Logan and Shelby. Let's get to ringside for some action.
Another episode of All Elite Marks Podcast. I'm your host, Logan Frazier, along with my co-host, Shelby Rouse. How you doing, Shelby?
I'm doing pretty good, Logan. How are you tonight?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good.
So let's start this podcast off with our headlines for this week. First one we'll get right into is they have announced that Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley is set for AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view. That's going to take place in Baltimore on Saturday, November the 9th. Been a long time coming. Of course, Moxley was out with an elbow injury that prevented him from facing Kenny at this recent pay-per-view at All Out. So what do you think about that, Shelby?
Extremely hyped for it. So when either Kenny's music or Moxley's music hits, the crowd will be ready for this match. They've been wanting it for a while. I think it's going to be a great match. I think they're two good workers, obviously, and I'm excited to see it.
I think everybody's going to be excited to see it. They've really played it up. The promo that Kenny cut on Moxley after he found out that he wasn't going to be able to wrestle him on Being the Elite, that was fire. It was great.
Yeah. They do a great job right now not having a TV outlet. But you know what I mean. Not having a weekly TV program. They do a great job at keeping these big storylines going and topical. Like in your head. They make the wrestling fan remember them even though they don't have a TV show every week. And I think that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was needed to kind of hit the ground running on a TV show to have all this background that they have built up between the Road 2 series, the Being the Elite, and then the pay-per-views that all of it led up to.
I think I could do a little bit better job explaining the people that we don't have much knowledge about. Like if I'm flipping the channels and I'm not really a wrestling fan, like I might have watched it a few years ago or something, I'm flipping the channels and I check out AEW, I might lack a little bit of information, but sometimes that can come really repetitive. If I'm explaining to the same person as every week, that gets a little old. So,
yeah, because, yeah. I mean, in gaining new people, you don't want to lose the interest of the ones you already have, too.
That's... Exactly. We don't have to Michael Cole, it's boss time every TV show. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Okay, what do you got next?
Moving forward, Casey Catanzaro is headed out of the WWE, it looks like. She's with NXT right now. She's great. She's a former American Ninja Warrior. I believe she's the first woman to ever climb that rope, I think, or wall on the TV show. I've only watched it a few times. But anyway, she has got a back injury, a reported back injury, and she's requested her release. But as far as we know, it's not really been granted yet or accepted or denied, either one. She's a great talent, and I was looking on her Twitter. It looks like she could potentially be back if the injury isn't as bad as what they think it could be. So maybe like a little bit of a Shawn Michaels thing. Hopefully it doesn't take 4 years.
Wait. Are you telling me that Casey Catanzaro has lost her smile? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Oh, well, she don't really have to work at this point. That might be the real story there. You never know.
But she's a great athlete. She was in the 2018 Mae Young Classic, and in the 2019 Women's Royal Rumble, and she did one of those Kofi Kingston spots where she did a handstand.
Yeah,
back
I remember
in the
that.
Ring to save herself. So
and she
pretty cool.
Grapevined around the ring post and just lifted herself up by her legs. That was unreal. Yeah.
It just blows my mind what people can do. I can barely walk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know how these people do this stuff. But I'm sad. Hopefully she'll be able to come back. She's good at what she does. So I'd like to see her be able to come back from that injury and be back at some point.
Well, our next headline is actually a update from one of last week's headlines. We told you last week that Stone Cold was scheduled to be a part of Raw this week at the Madison Square Garden show. Apparently, he was watching Raw and said, hey, I tell you what, since there's so much drama going on that's centered around Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, I'll just host the contract signing next week when I'm there. And that way it'll keep off all the people coming into the ring and stuff. Now, the only thing I have a question about is Stone Cold was a badass in his day, but, I mean, what's he going to do that Braun Strowman or Seth Rollins can't do against people that's coming in the ring? I mean... It's still going to be a 3-on-5, and if the same people come in to the picture.
Uh-huh.
But I still have hold true to what I believe is going to happen, and I truly believe they're going to feed Stone Cold Steve Austin to The Fiend just to really push The Fiend being out there. But that's my opinion. What do you think?
That last Firefly Funhouse that we had, he called out Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins. So in the whole feeding legends to the Fiend aspect that they've been doing, how would that freak you out if you're Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman? Would that freak? I mean, I don't know why anything would ever freak Braun Strowman out. The man is a monster, a literal monster. But that would mess with me in my head. You know what I mean? Because one thing I would love to see from The Fiend is some more mind games like The Undertaker used to do.
Right.
I think that would be really cool. So maybe you could play into that. Well, I'd like to see it.
See, it's connected the dots to me that, he challenges whoever wins between Strowman and Rollins. And then Stone Cold's like, in case somebody comes in the ring, I'll do the contract signing. And I'm like, so it's going to be a message to Braun and Seth if this happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, following it backwards, because that's how booking typically is. They go backwards from, this is what we want to happen. How do we get to this point? It makes a lot of sense in hindsight to do it that way. So I don't know. We'll see if that takes place or not,
Yeah, I think you're either going to see him at Madison Square Garden on September 9th, or you're not going to see him again to Hell in a Cell. Because of that little comment about see you in hell, which is a reference to Hell in a Cell.
Right.
I think you're either going to, you go two ways. I don't mind seeing it. I mean, at this point, what does Stone Cold Steve Austin have left? I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have anything left to give the business, but at this point, you are in sort of a position where you're putting over better talent. I'm not better talent, but you're putting over younger talent. So I do think that would be great,
right.
Like a great nod. Like, oh my God, that'd be a great nod.
I mean, it would put the legend of The Fiend that is being built on the map, in my opinion, because, you didn't just take out a legend, you took out Stone Cold Steve Austin,
Yes. The biggest moneymaker, him and Hogan,
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think at some point, I think Stone Cold surpassed Hogan, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking Nate. Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
You're thinking,
you know, name identity, too. You know, those are two of the biggest
right.
names. And I don't want to see Bray Wyatt and Hulk Hogan. Let's stick with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And it looks like he could still take somebody out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, moving forward, there's an Impact wrestler at Slammiversary that refused to blade. His name is Killer Cross, and he was in a match against Eddie Edwards. And evidently, Cross claims, my goodness, I am struggling, claims that according to WrestleZone, he was concerned about the lack of blood testing being performed by Impact in advance of the match, and a lack of medical officials at the event. And in 2019, I know that's a big deal. You need to make sure people are if you're going to have blood in your program, you need to make sure that things are being done the correct way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you see blood come out now, you see a ref hitting the nylon gloves, you know, going on.
Mm-hmm. It amazes me. I don't even want to do research on this, but I wonder back in, you know, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, like, I wonder how much contamination there actually was. You know what I mean? Like, how would we have known?
Well,
nobody did
probably
that
wouldn't.
Kind of testing back then.
Well, I mean, it goes with the, you know, the chair shots and the, you know, the things that we've learned about that. And it's what we knew back then, I mean, compared to what we know now, I mean,
totally different.
Yeah, totally different. And, you know, now you see a chair shot kind of like what Cody took, and people are like, really? That was unnecessary. That was, you know, if that would have happened in the 90s, people would have been cheering, you know, saying, hit him again, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and you venture back to the Rock Mankind match.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, people would lose their mind over that.
Absolutely.
And they should, because I don't know if you've seen Mick Foley lately, but, I mean, the man is obviously, like, hurting. Like, you can tell he's in pain, and it's sort of sad.
Oh, yeah.
But evidently also, Impact is trying to keep Cross off of their AAA show coming up in New York City, and there's talk of Killer Cross doing Impact for breach of contract. There's a whole lot of drama going on in Impact Wrestling right now.
There is. A lot of it circled around those contracts. You know, we mentioned Johnny Impact, Johnny whatever you want to call him this week.
Insert last name.
Yeah, insert last name. Last week about the contracts, and I'm pretty sure that there's two or three other ones that have been in contract disputes. Cross's girlfriend, and I don't know why, but her name is slipping my mind right now. She was in about that. Let me, as you would say, throw it in my Google machine really quick.
Before Conrad Thompson tries to sue us, let's give him those talks.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. Conrad and his StarCasts and podcasts.
Scarlett Bordeaux. There you go.
Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah. She is actually, I don't know if she's married, girlfriend, fiance. I don't know what level the relationship is, but in a relationship with Killer Cross. And she had some of the same issues going on about trying to get out of contracts and stuff with Impact. And that was happening, I guess, probably about 3 months ago, I'd say. And eventually she, you know, managed to get out of that contract. And I think she still occasionally does stuff with them, but it's like on a, by-show basis right now.
Does Dixie Carter still run Impact?
No. I actually think that Don Callis is doing a lot of that.
I'm honestly surprised there's still a promotion. I'd like to see them get better. I think the more wrestling, the better. I don't know why I'm saying that, though. There's so much wrestling.
Yeah,
but,
at this point, it's like... But,
Man, I'm tired.
Yeah, my DVR is working overtime.
For real.
All right, so the next topic that we're going to cover is one that is probably not a headline at all to anybody that keeps up with wrestling, because if you haven't seen a meme about the AEW championship belt, then you're not on the internet right now. But apparently while Chris Jericho was celebrating with a steak at Longhorn in Tallahassee, Florida on Sunday, someone stole the AEW championship out of his limo. There was a full report filed and everything, and I know we talked momentarily about this, and you said you weren't really familiar with the whole story, and I said, well, I'm not going to tell you about it till we get on the podcast. So here's my thing. First of all, let me ask you this, Shelby. If you had to take a guess at a monetary value, which is something that is required in any theft report, that's done through an actual police office, how much would the stated value of the AEW championship belt be?
I have no idea. I mean, realistically, like, $5,000-$10,000, I'm probably lowballing that. But I don't know.
Well, now I will say this. I don't believe this is how much it actually costs to have this belt made. I think there's, some intrinsic value that's set because it is the inaugural belt for AEW, and that's why it would be worth this much, not necessarily like replacement value, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But $30,000, which made this grand larceny. And the interesting thing is, of course, now the belt has been found by the Tallahassee Police Department. I believe it was actually the Sheriff's Department, excuse me. And they tweeted that it was found, and included a tag to Jericho to tell him, and apparently did that before they called Jericho, AEW, or anybody. I thought that was really weird. Released a picture with one of the sheriff deputies holding it.
That would have been me. I would have been that deputy.
Absolutely. Well, and the funny thing was everybody's reading the news reports about it. I thought it was really funny that the Wikipedia article on the belt was changed once this happened to, it was very serious all the way up until the point where, Chris Jericho was the first inaugural champion to hold the belt. The current title holder is the Thief. And then somebody changed it again once it was found and said that the new champion is the Tallahassee Sheriff's Department. So I thought that was kind of funny. But so here we go.
I love
again.
The internet.
they come up with the belt. So if you had to guess, Shelby, this is part two of Guess That Crime, you know, or whatever. How do you think they found the missing belt?
I mean, it's not going to be as easy as somebody just turning it in because it's grand larceny, evidently.
Wrong. Somebody walked into the station with the belt and turned it in. And do you know what their story was?
What?
They found it on the side of the road.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
Well, no, I mean, think about this. If you are the guy who stole it out of the limo, okay, all of a sudden you realize just exactly, I mean, I can't imagine somebody not realizing what they have. I mean, if you're stealing it, you know, surely you have some inkling of what it is you have. But over the radio, it comes across as this is, you know, worth $30,000. This is grand larceny. I'm chunking it. Who am I going to sell it to? I mean, maybe somebody on the black market, but how do you find somebody on the black market if you ain't a part of the black market? You know,
I don't know. I'm not privy to that information.
I mean, what you call? I guess you call up Conrad Thompson. Hey, I got a deal for you. You know, so, well, how much money you got?
Oh gosh, what was it they say? Belts are us.
Yeah, belts are us.
Belts are us. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
So,
I love wrestling.
So literally, somebody found this on the side of the road and went and turned it in. I would have been scared to pick it up and go turn it in. I'd be like,
absolutely.
Oh no, I'm calling the police right now anonymously. Hey, this belt is sitting on the side of the road. I'm not touching it.
that big shiny thing, evidently it's really important. I'm not touching it without my fingerprint on it.
Right, exactly.
So. Oh, God. I don't know. I was scrolling through Facebook just a few minutes ago before we started recording and saw that Chris Jericho on his Facebook page, and I'm assuming his Twitter too, has released a video of him holding the belt. So he has it back and said how he found it on his own and deserves a thank you from the Florida Police Department or something like that, which I think is hilarious because now it's an angle.
It is. And that's another thing. I fully expect whoever is going to be the number one contender is going to be the person that stole the belt. I mean, you know, from this point, I mean, if I'm a booker, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use it. I'm going to be like, look, inform the police office. Look, we're going to say that this is the case. And, you know, because obviously you're not going to find who did it, you know, or whatever. So we're going to use this to our advantage. And whoever the number one contender is going to be revealed as the person who stole it in the first place.
I think it's the Repo Man.
Maybe. You know, on the page,
it's too easy.
I posted a picture of the belt in the refrigerator and asked Gary Lamb if this was his refrigerator.
I saw that.
Well, I mean, two days before or whatever, he posted a picture, you know, of them parked at the Action Building, you know, getting ready to go on tour. So I'm like, you know, I just connected 1, 2, 3, and, you know, that's the missing loophole. They didn't expect Gary.
No. Absolutely not. All right. Well, on to our final headline. I'm marking out over my own headline. It's Heels, Baby Faces, and Chair Shots, Oh My. Bailey is a heel. I think Bailey's a heel now, right? That's what they're going for.
Well, I don't know. You know, it may be different Monday.
What's a heel? I don't think I know what those are anymore.
Well, you know, if you ask Jim Cornette, he's going to tell you that if they don't lie, cheat, and steal, then they're not a true heel.
I know, and I think they're. Heels and baby faces have multiple facets. You don't have to be this terrible human being heel, but I do think there is something to be said for someone. Have you seen SmackDown?
I have not. I have not yet.
I understand. Hey, there's so much wrestling on from Saturday to today. There has been so much wrestling on TV. So Bayley came out on SmackDown and was cutting this promo about how she's not a bad guy. She's doing this for the kids. The kids need her and this, that, and the other. And I was just like, I see what you're doing. Because good heels don't think they're bad.
Right, they're
Heath
justified.
Heath Ledger's Joker character didn't think he was bad. You know, we related to that. So I think that's really cool because you don't have to be Randy Orton and literally beating the crap out of Kofi Kingston last night on SmackDown. You don't have to always be like that kind of bad. But I just wonder if heels and baby faces are a thing anymore. I know in AEW they're saying nope. Not a thing. The character is going to have a character, and you can decide how you feel about it.
Well, and I think that's great because, look, every single person has elements of being a heel and a face in real life.
Absolutely. It's like Harry Potter. I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan, but there's a quote from Harry Potter that says, "We all have good and dark in us. It's what we choose to do." That's a rough quote, but... It's 10 o'clock at night.
Right, absolutely.
You're exactly right. So I agree with that. I was upset when I heard that at first from AEW, but now the way you sort of put that, that does make a lot of sense.
And that way, the thing is that everybody relates to everybody. You know, and I think they show great example of that with MJF. Because
yes.
You have a heel... who has a face friendship, which I think eventually is going to, you know, melt down, but that's in the future. Heels have friends. Bad guys have friends. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? The truth of the matter is that bad guys have friends that are good guys. And good guys sometimes have friends that are bad guys. It just is real life. So that blurring, whereas it just gets up under Jim Cornette's skin, it might just be something to it as far as your typical wrestling fans.
And the thing is, Logan, who said that has to be every match? What book says that you have to have every match on the card have that kind of, well, I don't know if you're good or bad.
Well, Vince McMahon says that, but...
Yes, but there's no written or unwritten rule, like if you were to tie in AEW and even the other promotions, there's no unwritten rule that says, well, we have six matches on the card. This guy's a heel and this guy's going up against a face and then you don't really know what's going on. You can do things like that. I would want to see a little bit of, I would like to see the bad guy get in the end, you know? So, but not every match has to be like that. So.
No, I mean, some of my favorite matches is when, you know, a good guy takes on another good guy out of respect to see who is the better man, you know?
Yeah. And not all of those matches have to turn into AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura hitting each other between the legs every match for 6 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
Doesn't have to turn into these weird heel turns, you know, because now I don't know where Charlotte Flair is. She's still bad. I think Charlotte needs to always be bad, though. She's best when she's bad. So, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think Charlotte more, though. I love her, so there's that.
But, you know, the thing is I can see Charlotte being one of those that's just her. You know, I have bad guy tendencies, but, You know, I'm relatable as a face because, hey, my daddy is Ric Flair, you know?
And I'm better than all of y'all.
Because it didn't matter how much they did heel-like promos, they did heel-like things in the ring, Flair still got cheered. It didn't matter. He was a heel, but he was cheered for it.
Wrestling, you know, scene, the internet, things like that. People, everybody is smart to this business now. And I think that sort of hurts a lot if you're going for heels and baby faces, because 9 times out of 10, the crowd's cheering the bad guy nowadays. So might as well blur the lines and just let people enjoy what they enjoy. I actually saw Jim Cornette retweet a tweet that said something along the lines of, you don't have to just listen to me and this other guy and agree with what we say, which surprised me because he is really anti-AEW. Not a big Orange Cassidy fan, obviously, if you've ever listened to his podcast. That sort of stood out to me because it's true. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean everybody has to not like it. There's stuff with AEW that just grinds my gears. I don't like it, but I'll still tune in. I just won't watch some of the stuff that I don't want to see. Like, I don't want to see Orange Cassidy with his hands in his pockets, but I can flip the channel 15 minutes. So, you know,
because NXT's on the other station.
Exactly. And you know what? I've never watched NXT before. So this is going to be real hard for me because I really want to watch both of them.
You're going to be lost as a ball in high weeds. You'll be like, I don't know what to watch.
Well, the thing, think of it now, though. You got 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours for NXT on Wednesday, 2 hours for AEW on Wednesday, 2 hours for SmackDown on Friday, and then pay-per-views come into play on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. And you don't really know where NWA is going to fall in that, too, because there's going to be televised, you know, episodic weekly episodes of it, too.
And then if you watch MLW, which you can catch on YouTube on replays, which isn't really that big of a deal, but they come on Monday nights, too.
Right.
So I'm starting to wonder if there might be a little bit too much of this thing we call wrestling, but
it'll get to the point where it's oversaturated, and then they'll pull back a little bit.
I was listening. I am a huge fan of What Culture Wrestling, specifically Simon Miller. I really like Simon Miller, and he was talking about what if NXT was to do better than SmackDown or Raw in the long term. Like, not obviously day one, but what if they were to really go up against SmackDown and even go up against Raw? Would that show that, okay, because evidently Triple H has been let to continue running NXT on TV. Would that, if NXT came up against SmackDown and Raw in ratings, would that finally be like, okay, Vince has lost it? Not lost it, obviously, but lost his touch with this, and we need to look into something else, or maybe him finally stepping down. I don't know. But it's cool to think about.
It is. You know, Triple H in the past few days has come out and announced that NXT is a third brand. It is no longer a developmental thing. It is a third brand. Mm-hmm. And in the same breath, I guess you could count this as a bonus headline. They have come out and said that there is a date now that is set for a superstar shakeup, a total lottery where all your superstars are going to get spread over the three different brands now.
I think that would be cool. I know a lot of people have talked about having, like, Roman show up on NXT, or, you know, some of these big names show up on NXT to pop a rating to try and beat AEW, which, whatever. But I think as long as they stay as far away from that wild card crap, that will be helpful.
It would be.
So, I don't know.
I agree.
I don't know. But...
but, yeah, I definitely would expect before SmackDown does its moves to Friday nights to have a full-blown lottery. To be honest with you, I almost expect it almost immediately after Clash of Champions. Because then that next week is going to be when you're going to have NXT debut. And
yeah,
if you're going to have, like, a lottery-type thing, I mean, you want to do it early. You don't want to get people used to characters and then jerk them off that brand, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, the next pay-per-view is it's crazy to think that September, like, with how this month runs, with Clash of Champions being after it's over, your next pay-per-view in October... SmackDown will already be on Friday night. So, yeah, you need to do something like that so you could build towards your next pay-per-view.
Right.
Now, are we going to have NXT still have single NXT pay-per-views, or is there going to be an NXT match on Hell in a Cell?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know how that's going to work.
I would say
with them having the name, you know, TakeOver, I would say that it's going to run like its own separate brand entity, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Because they put the cruiserweight stuff on. They put, I mean, I get that the cruiserweight and NXT have, it's two totally different things. It just makes you wonder. A lot of unknown, a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We can see how all this pans out. We've all been talking about it for months. Now we can see how that works.
You know, I'm also interested in where is 205 Live falling? You know, they've talked about the fact that they're going to be just fizzled out eventually. And, you know, they'll be on shows of their own. And then the same thing with NXT UK. Is that going to be a show that stays completely on the network? Is that a part of NXT now? How does that work? So a lot of dynamics that are not revealed yet.
Mhm. Absolutely. We just got to see how it plays out.
It'll be interesting. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our headlines for tonight, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Thank you, Shelby.
Thanks, Logan. Have a good night.
You too.